Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Winners never quit and quitters never win. That's the only way to go.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
Bad Bones, the hottest free agent in German wrestling, he's here!
Messlatte. Messlatte. Ja, nicht hoch.
John Bad Bones Klinger.
Bad Bones, John Klinger. How are we doing?
Thank you for having me at Cultaholic, and I'm absolutely brilliant.
You are currently, are you locked down in Germany at the moment?
I am. It's called the light lockdown in Germany, yeah. So
a lockdown, but less calories, presumably.
It's like Pepsi Light, you know.
What does it mean with a lockdown light? Because I've not kept up with how Germany is locking down.
They have weird regulations because they were talking about some more today. But like for now, it was like only like five people can like meet up. And now it's going to be like, I don't really know. So I actually hope that I'm going to have some shows in December. But unfortunately, I don't think so. Because like lockdown light was meant to be from beginning of November till the end of November. So I'm sitting here and I'm waiting.
Where are you hoping to be in December?
Where I hope to be in December? Well, how about AEW and wrestling Cody Rhodes or Brian Cage? How about that?
Oh, we are going to talk about this because it's a tweet that you sent that has inspired our conversation today, John, and I am excited to get to it. But I want the world who aren't familiar with the badness to know all about the badness and why what we are going to pitch definitely needs to happen. And by the end of it, they will.
I hope so. I hope so.
What's also cool about this conversation is that obviously, having you on Cultaholic is a bit like having an old friend over because you were part of WCPW. Cultaholic is a spin-off of the lads from What Culture doing this. So I'm sure we'll have some stories of your time at WCPW to talk about as well.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I started in 2004, so that makes me really old right now. Is that right?
Isn't it funny, though, how, like, it seems 2004 seems like the other year. It doesn't seem like a long time ago. Like, I remember watching wrestling and thinking in 2004, thinking, oh, that was the other year. And I went, oh, wait, no, that's like a decade and a half ago, John. What's going on? Why is everything going so fast?
because now you have time to actually think about it, to rethink what you have done and all the good parts. Like, the lockdown at the moment, I know it's a bit weird and some people get stressed about it, but you have to think about the stuff you already had in your life. And like for the past 16 years, I did what I love to do. And sometimes right now I have moments where I actually like rethink some stuff, which I actually forgot. And then, it kind of makes you think about stuff, but like in a positive way.
Spent a lot of time in our own heads during lockdown, haven't we?
Yeah.
A lot of time. But we're going to get to it and we're going to talk about your life and times as we go. But the main reason that you're here, John, is that we're sending you onto a desert island and we are going to allow you to burn a DVD of three wrestling matches to watch while you're there. So we're going to go through them as the show goes on. So what would you like your first match to be?
Wait, does it mean me as one person or the personas I have?
Ooh.
Which would make...
Oh. I guess as long as you're socially distanced, John Klinger and Bad Bones can be on the same island. I'm down for the carnage. I'm down to see what happens. But what would your first match be then? What are you thinking?
Number one, Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat, WrestleMania 3.
What's the cup for?
WrestleMania 3, Pontiac, Michigan. Yeah, 90,000 plus people watching right there. And this is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's cup of coffee in the big time. Yeah, cup of coffee in the big time, because he'll never get closer than now. I am the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, and I will remain the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And George the Animal Steel on the outside will be no factor. Yeah.
You say no factor. Obviously, he is a factor, or you wouldn't even brought it up.
Oh, wow. Mr. Sarcasm, yeah. I don't care if you got 23 wrestlers around the outside. It doesn't even matter, no, because I am ready, and I will not let this opportunity slip through my fingers. Cup of coffee, man, yeah. Man, wow, man, freaked out.
He is my idol. He was the first one I ever saw on television. When my parents skipped to the television, and I was 4 years old, fascinated me right away. And I was like, oh, my God, he has something special there. And yeah, like since then, I was a big fan of Macho Man Randy Savage, and it never stopped. It's still going on. He's still there, even if he isn't there. You know what I mean? Because I like to watch like old matches. Like I probably have watched the WrestleMania 3 match like 100, almost 1,000 times. Well, in that, you know. But it's so much storytelling, and it's the dramatics, and I love it. It's like old school. Totally love it.
Wrestling was full of big characters when during that era, during the golden era of wrestling, there was larger than life personas everywhere you looked. What is it about Randy Savage that caught your eye?
He was kind of crazy. He was like crazier than everyone else. He was, well, the madness, you know. I looked at him and I thought, yeah, that's my guy. That's the guy I would like to hang around with. He had like those tippy toes when he was jumping around. He always like made himself look bigger than he is, like the tassels, the hat, and all this stuff. Yeah, I totally loved that. He was actually my first ever wrestling figure as well.
Now, which wrestling figure was it? Now, because there was a couple of Randy Savage figures in the first couple of editions. There was, I believe, there was one that did a clothesline when you squeezed his legs, and I believe there was one that did an elbow, like a diving elbow, when you pushed a lump on his back and leaped up. Do you know which one you had, John?
It was the one I had, the Macho King Randy Savage, the one with the crown and the scepter.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, did that one pull it out? Pull his arm.
It was a clothesline. That was the clothesline.
That's the clothesline one, is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Why, of all the matches you could have brought with you of Savage, why pick the one with Steamboat?
Because it's so detailed. I. You know, you actually can see them two working. I know there is like a story that they like wrote everything down and stuff like that. But even if I didn't know that, now I would watch it over and over again, because they really get me. I get goosebumps like every time I watch it. Like the seconds before he actually like body slams him, and then Ricky Steamboat rolls him up. It's something like, oh my God, no, you just can't, because like obviously I'm a Randy Savage guy. When he beat him, I was like, oh my God, damn you. But yeah, it's the goosebumps every time I watch it.
When we talk about Randy Savage fans within the industry, there's two names that come up in conversation. There's yourself and there's Jay Lethal. And yes. I know you got a lot of props from Jay Lethal for the work that you do. He even compared you to Randy Savage, which must be very flattering from Black Machismo.
Absolutely. Like, we actually had a talk about that, like Jay Lethal and I, when we both were in England, and I, you know, started to transform into the badness, and he was watching, and he was like, dude, I never knew that you're like that big Macho Man Randy Savage fan. It was actually like watching a Randy Savage match. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what to say, but because I was speechless because like him doing the Black Machismo gimmick, loved it because it's just to honor the man, the king, however you want to say it. Yeah, but those words of him, they really made me, you know, like heart bumping, going up. I was totally nervous, and to hear that, it's honoring, and to let the legend live on in a positive way, because like when I do it, I just want the fans, you know, to remember Macho Man Randy Savage, what he was for me, but kind of modernize it. Is the right word? Modernize it in like the 21st century. So I just, you know, try to go as much as possible.
Are we going to get that match between you and Jay Lethal?
It was planned 2 times already.
I know, right? I'm just furious that we haven't had it yet.
The first time was... where was the first time? Wait. No, the first time was in Switzerland, but I got like really sick. So I had to go to the hospital. And then I had to cancel the show. And then the second time was in Switzerland. But then they had the COVID lockdown. And no, wait. We're going to stop there again because I kind of mixed them up.
It's all good. I'll put it on.
So the first one would have happened in Switzerland. But I got very, very sick and I had to go to the hospital. The second time was meant to happen in Germany. And then we had the start of Corona, the lockdowns and everything. So he wasn't allowed to travel. And, well, maybe at the third time, we're going to finally have it.
It's almost like the universe is too frightened to put you guys together. Just in case of what would happen.
It would explode.
Yeah. This is like a safety measure for the cosmos to keep Jay Lethal and Bad Bones apart.
Probably.
English is your second language, but you speak it better than most English people, which is it's both a compliment to you and a detriment to my fellow countrymen. But you were taught at an early age. You had American neighbours, didn't you, that got you the English language?
Oh, you made your homework. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I had American neighbors like since I was 3 or 4, and then I was playing with it. I had no clue what they were saying, but they were watching wrestling as well, so I was watching with them, and I kind of like, you know, tried to get me in there. And for some reason, like as a kid, it's totally easy to hook up on stuff like that. And when I had the first like lessons in school, it was so easy for me to get into that stuff. And it was like my favorite language. Actually, it's my favorite language. Yeah, I like it better than German because like when you talk German, it always sounds like really angry and like you're shouting at somebody. It's like Waschmaschine, you know? You know what I said?
Is it washing machine?
Yes. But
No, I did GCSE German, and then the knowledge ended. I could probably tell you how to get to the airport, and I can tell you what color his shirt is. But that's about as good as it goes.
Okay. What color is my shirt?
Brauner. I'm colorblind, so what am I to know? your headband is Weisse though. Weisse und Rot.
Weiss und Rot. Yes.
And I've forgotten what black is in German.
Schwarz,
of course it is. Schwarz. Because Schwarzkopf sounds like blackhead, which when you think about it, it makes Schwarzkopf sound disgusting. It sounds like blackhead. But the thing is, Germans have other words that we don't have in English. Like, I love the word Schadenfreude, which is taking pleasure from other people's pain. And I love the fact that there is no word in the English language or other languages for that expression, then it comes from German. Is there any words, though, in the German language that you find don't translate into English?
Well, if I don't find the word, I try to, like working around it. But I don't know now.
So I can only think of Schadenfreude. And Oberstufe and Ofenhausraum, which is common room, apparently. Or words to that effect. It's not.
Whatever person, if that gets you, you know, I'm... What was that?
Oberstufen Alfen Hausraum. Is that... Have I been taught a lie? Is that Oberstufen Alfen Hausraum?
Oberstufen?
Oberstufen Alfen Hausraum. Is that not German for common room? I learned this like 20 years ago, so my head might have fallen off.
It could be, but I took many bumps on the head, so maybe it's not understandable.
A lot of people that listen to this podcast will be from the States, and they may not be familiar with the wrestling scene in Germany, and I really want to talk about it as well. But when it comes to putting together matches and stuff, have you ever had an issue with a language barrier? But I guess you haven't, because if English is your second language.
No, like English stuff would be totally okay, even if they use some other words. You always find something around it. Even with the Japanese people, I didn't have that much problem. Like, I don't speak Japanese, but like when you do wrestling, like the moves are always the same, and they will understand if you try, you know, to explain them what you want to do or what they are doing. So, no, never had a problem there.
Learning English at a young age, hanging around with wrestling fans from America got you into it. But when was the decision for you to go, when did you decide this is something that I actually want to do for a living?
Well, when I saw it the first time on television, I said that's what I want to do. Of course, I couldn't do it because I'm, you know, wasn't tall enough. Anyway, I tried to do something like which is similar to that, because we didn't have wrestling in Germany, or not that big. There was CWA, right? But like, I was like really young, so I tried kickboxing, I tried karate, I tried amateur wrestling, and that was like the closest I got to. And then on some day I found an advert at a German wrestling magazine, Power Wrestling, if you ever heard of that. That there is like wrestling training going on in Germany, like with some German stars. And I was like, wow, I need to get there, because like that's the opportunity I can get instead of like going to America or England. Because at those times you weren't that sure, you know. It's like I was, let's say, 16 when I was reading that advert. So with the age of 19, I got to my first. Took the first bumps, and I never wanted to leave the ring again.
Wow. And that was the moment you did it. You went, this is for me. This is for me.
Yeah. I mean, it did hurt. Of course it did hurt. Because, like, at first they let me drop on, take the bumps on, like, those normal dojo mats, those little tiny dojo mats. Mm. And they said, if you can fall on them, you can fall everywhere. I took them, and I was like, Jesus, I hope the ring is not that hard. It was that hard, but... It didn't matter, because like I was in the ring, different zone.
We've had so many stories on here of people traveling all over the place to get to their first wrestling training. Yours was a 6-hour round trip to work with Lloyd on Hawaii. Worth every minute in the car, I think, to be in that sort of company.
Absolutely. Lloyd is such an amazing guy. He taught me so much. He taught me how to bump, how to react, how to get up. And he took the time to tell us some stories and everything.
Give us a story that Lloyd told you. One that you're allowed to tell.
Oh. I don't know if we can tell those stories. No. I'm just kidding. No. There was one training where me and the other guy were in the ring. And he was just like, yeah, you have to run the ropes like a couple of times. So I was running the ropes. And I was running, and I didn't, you know, I was too respectful to say, to ask him how many rounds I should run, right? And then the other guy, he was like smirking and laughing. And I just looked to the side and stopped. And there was Lloyd. He was like snoozing away because he just fell asleep. And I was like, wow, I must be that boring. So he was just like, but he kind of acted like he's still awake, because he was just mumbling something, and that made me. I mean that like broke the ice, and I was like, I stopped, and then we woke him up, and he was like, maybe we go for some food right now, and after that we gotta train again. I just got a little bit tired because I have a jet lag, but he was over for like a couple of weeks already. It was so cute.
This is the cousin of The Rock who taught you this as well, Lloyd Adewale. Is there something that he taught you in particular that you still recall to this day? Obviously, away from the stories and stuff, more like a lesson or a method in the ring that has stayed with you.
Always take your time. Don't be too fast. When you think you're slow, go slower.
Because sometimes your head, it's all moving a lot. It's moving a lot quicker in your head than it is everywhere else. So you have to pull all the way back.
That's right. Your brain actually like works three steps backwards. While the two in the ring know what they're doing, it's like, let's say they do a side headlock, shoot off and tackle, and you do that, and it's too fast. People outside will just go like, I'm still in the headlock. And, you know, you just confuse them with that. I mean, you have matches now, they're like super fast, but you need matches who are like slower to get the people going as well, because you want them to remember your match. And of course, when they go home and say, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened, he's my hero because this happened, you made the right job.
The name Bad Bones, it's an excellent wrestling name in the sense that it is just straight to the point. You kind of know what you're getting with Bad Bones. But the story behind such an aggressive name is actually a really sweet one because it's a tribute to your auntie.
Absolutely. She was the one who was like looking for names when I started the wrestling. And she was in a motorcycle club. So we wrote some names down, and Bad Bones actually was like the last name we wrote down. Like not much after that, she had a car accident where she passed away. And so I took that as a tribute for her. And since then, it's you know, it brings luck for me because I know she's there and she's a part of it as well.
You say she was in a motorcycle club. That makes her one of the coolest aunties ever, I would say.
Absolutely. I mean, at your funeral, there were like 500 people or something like that. Pretty big.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
That's amazing. I'm intrigued to know if Bad Bones was last name on the list. What other names were on that list? What did we nearly get, John? What did we nearly get?
Well, there were like some German names like, what was that?
It's a weird name. I mean, it's intimidating. Oh, what was that?
No, we had something with bones as well. It was like Knochenbrecher. Which would be bone breaker.
Oh. Now that sounds cool. Knochenbrecher.
Knochenbrecher. Yeah. Then there was... Die Maschine.
Nice. Simple, the machine.
Which is simple, yeah.
But you say, like you said earlier, how like the German accent's quite aggressive, but surely this is where it pays dividends. Because simply calling yourself the machine, say it in the German accent, der Maschine, he's going to kill me. He's probably going to kill me.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But actually, we had some hilarious names as well, and they were like kind of goofy. I have to look it up because I have those writings somewhere. Because like we had some Looney Tunes cartoonish figures planned as well, because like I really like the old gimmicks and stuff. So it was like, you know, we just don't get there. I go there anymore. So.
Gotta pick another match for your DVD, John. So we've had Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat. What would you like your next match to be?
Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 25.
16-0 at WrestleMania. A feat so extraordinary, no one could ever think of replicating it. A feat of the Undertaker. A man who's never lost at WrestleMania.
I don't think it's worth the Undertaker.
How on earth are you going to stop this guy? Continues. You may be 16-0 at
WrestleMania.
I don't think I've ever seen a better big match wrestler than Shawn Michaels.
The man who revolutionized
the ladder match.
Oh! I'm the man that wrestled for over an hour and walked out champion.
Shawn Michaels, somehow.
I have never been outperformed on the grandest stage of them all.
My God, can you believe this man?
And I never will.
He is Mr. WrestleMania.
I respect The Undertaker, but I am not afraid of The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels, the time for prayer has just begun.
The story behind that is, like, how they got the people, the emotion they put in there, and how much they worked for the people to understand every single part. It was just like, yeah, it's a match you can watch every time, every day, over and over again, and you won't get bored. It's like one of the matches of the matches. It can't get any better than that. I like the 2026 one. I really like that as well, but the 25 one, it just had the, like, it had the little extra. And it would be one I would watch over and over and over again.
Where were you when you watched it for the first time?
I was at a friend, like a wrestling party thing, and we were watching chips and like crisps and stuff all the time, because I was, like, nervous, and I wanted Shawn Michaels to beat The Undertaker, which, you know, obviously didn't happen, but, and you knew it won't happen, but for you were, like Shawn Michaels is my second all-time favorite. Actually, my son is called Shawn, one of my sons. Yeah, it was just, like, one of the matches you need to see. I wish, actually, I would have seen that live, because, like, the emotion they put in there, it's tremendous.
Was, obviously, with WrestleMania parties, like, how many of you were at?
15, 20 people.
How many of them were, like, hardened wrestling fans or wrestlers, and how many were sort of casual?
They all had something to do with wrestling. It's either in the ring or behind the scenes. So there was not really one who wasn't familiar with wrestling.
How did the mood change in the room when that match was on? Because normally these WrestleMania parties, the ones I've been to especially, like, everybody kind of splits off and chats and it's on in the background, but then something will happen and suddenly all eyes will move to the TV. Did that happen with this match?
It absolutely happened. Like, there was the video package before, and then there was the match, like, just like the first few scenes in that match, and everyone was just sitting down. Everyone went quiet, and it was just like, oh yeah, now the match is coming. We're waiting for. So yeah, that was an amazing feeling.
Is there something in that match that you've watched and you've incorporated into either a match you've had or your ring style?
I would say the selling of Shawn Michaels, because, like, he sells everything so legit. You actually don't know if it hurts him that much or if he's really hurt, because, like, every time you look in his face, you see, like, how much detail he puts in that. I mean, everybody can do moves, but, like, the working part on itself and, like, to show the emotions to the people, to get them in there, that's something you don't see every day.
It's the art of making something feel intimate but playing to the back of the building at the same time. It's a real art to get that right, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's a hell of a match, and it's great to see that it's made your list. More from my incredible chat with Bad Bones John Klinger in just a moment. More great wrestling conversations can be found if you go to Audible. And right now, at cultaholic.com/audible, you can find a series of wrestling audiobooks that will no doubt enlighten you with wrestling conversation. We've talked about Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker there from WrestleMania 25. How about the story of Shawn Michaels? Now available as an audiobook, and it's yours for absolutely free if you go to cultaholic.com/audible. Sign up to Audible for 30 days for absolutely free. Get that Shawn Michaels audiobook in your ears. Choose from thousands of other audiobooks through Audible. And after 30 days, if you're not a fan of what Audible does, I think you will be though. But if you're not a fan, you can cancel and it won't cost you a penny. But you can keep the audiobook that we gave you. That's a thank you from me to you for supporting us at Cultaholic. Find out more about Audible and get your free audiobook at cultaholic.com/audible.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You were going through your training, you're traveling 6 mile round trip to work with Lloyd Anoa'i. Sometimes he was falling asleep, sometimes he wasn't. Compared to today, like one of the last true European shows before the pandemic took hold was WXW, and it was a massive crowd for that, with some inclusion from WWE as well, which says so much about it. But talk about how the landscape has changed in Germany for wrestling.
When I started in 2004, there was not many wrestling at that time. There was like two or three companies. You had the CWA before, and then CWA with Otto Wanz, like it just stopped. So you were like, just like there was nothing. And then it picked up on around 2004, at the beginning of 2004, you had like, it was called ACW in, maybe you have heard that, ACW?
Yeah, yeah, it was, because yeah. they did the training school as well, didn't they?
They did the training school, yes. So they had some shows going on there, and they had like, for me, the biggest names on there that I have seen so far, and it was actually my first live show as well, of ACW, of like a German show when I went there. They had like around 600 people or something like that, which was amazing. They had like monthly shows towards Patrick Schultz, Crazy Sexy Mike, Amateur. Then they had Lloyd there. They had the Bambi Killer there. And then there were some names who just like came from WCW or WWE. Like who were in WCW before, and then you just remember them because like there was Scotty Riggs and let me think about that, who Paul Burchill, but Paul Burchill just before he went to WWE. So yeah, there were so many guys, and then you had one show every month, and you trained like every weekend. I made the trip. The first couple of times I made a trip to get to the training, which was Fridays and Sundays. So I tried to get into the Friday training to stay until Sunday. But then sometimes it just went like, oh, there's nobody you can stay at with. So I went back, and then the same way back on Sundays to be at the training. I mean, I was at a young age, and of course I didn't want to miss training, so I took those hours of driving to be part of the training, whatever it takes.
If yeah. I want to use an Americanism to pay homage to your neighbors and say, who would you put on a Mount Rushmore of German wrestlers? Who would you put on a Mount Rushmore of German wrestlers?
That's a good question.
Five really impactful names from that part of the world.
How about Austrian?
We can use, yeah, Austrian's good. Austrian's good.
So we have Otto Wanz, who was Austrian.
Of course.
Of course. Then we have, well, biggest names, Michael Kovac. There's Walter. So we have three Austrians now.
Turning into an Austrian Rushmore. We'll have to move it to Austria. That's fine.
Ahmed Scheer and Crazy Sexy Mike at one, in one face, like, because they're brothers.
Yeah.
Wait, there's another one. Well, I'll just take me.
Hey, there you go. Pop yourself up there as well. That's amazing. Talk about the impact that WXW has had on the perception of German wrestling.
It was like, it started out to be like monthly shows as well. But then it like stopped doing those death matches and stuff. They actually got like really, really big, and they started touring around Germany, which made it easier for fans to get there, which was absolutely, you know, it was like the house show feeling of WWE, not in like the how big the fans are or how many fans are there, but like it like, it wasn't just one spot where they are, and you had the chance like to get there like quicker than before. It's like, do you want to go like 6 hours to watch a show, or do you just like go 10 minutes which is around your corner if you just wait? And sometimes you have like those 16 carats, which is like every year the biggest tournament in Germany or in Europe, which made it like so famous. I know that when the first 16 carat was, there was like maybe 300, 250 or something fans, and it grew and grew and grew. And now you have like, how many will it last? 1,000 and something.
There was a massive amount. We had a guy from our place who was there. Just as it, like I said, it was kind of, it felt like it was sort of like the last show before everything shut down. And there yes. were thousands. I believe was Only Lorcan there as well. I think they got some deal with NXT, and Only Lorcan, Danny Burch were a part of it yeah. as well. So, and again, that yeah. lends itself to how big and how visible it is now. When WWE is saying, we want to work with you, we want to put stuff on the network, we want to send you guys. That must be like a great relation, a great situation to be in.
Absolutely, like it's the best situation that can happen. If you have somebody working with WWE and they actually like give you the chance to show your product on their network, I mean, wow.
You're a former winner of the 16 carat tournament. How pivotal a moment was that in your career?
I was speechless. I was nervous as hell. I couldn't believe it, because in the finals, I wrestled Daniel Bryan, however you want to say it. And he's such an amazing guy. He, like, at that point, best in the world, absolutely. And I was, like, just before I wrestled him, I was so nervous. Like, and I said, bro, I don't even know if I, you know, can go out there. And he was like, chill out. It's all good. You're with me, so nothing will happen. And I learned so much in that, like, match. Maybe I haven't learned in 6 months, or like I learned more in that match than I would have learned in 6 months with somebody else, because it was learning by doing. And he's so calm as well. He gave you the chance to show out yourself while he was doing his stuff and not looking weak at all.
I want to reflect on this. Only the other month, WXW lost one of its own in Carsten Beck. The world, I think, needs to know more about Carsten Beck. He was incredible, wasn't he?
He was incredible. Like, for me, he was the best heel Germany ever had. Like, seriously. Like, you need to watch his matches. And for me, I had, like, 15-year story with him. Like, since I started at WXW till the last time I saw him to his funeral. He was Carson. He was like helping everyone, doing everything he can without asking for anything. But when he was in the ring, he actually was like the DDP of WXW, if you want to say it like that. He wasn't meant to be there. He wasn't meant to earn anything, but he did it. He did it all by himself, and he worked himself up so much. Like, he started as a Diego Latino with a mask on, and then he actually got rid of the mask and started as Carson Beck. And nobody, like, took him serious. Like, he didn't even give a damn about that. He didn't take him serious as well, which was the point that at one point the fans were like, wait, we don't get him like this, so we have to boo him. So he got on their nerves more and more and more and more. And, yeah, he became the König der Catcher, the King of Catch. And I actually saw him as a personal friend because we have done so many stuff together. We had a tremendous story together with one of my favorite matches we had in Hamburg. It was for the Unified World Title. It's hard to talk about somebody who actually like meant a lot to you, because like he was always good to my son, and like when he was backstage, he actually like gave him his red towel as a present. Like, that was like when after he stopped doing his thing. And once he was at our place, and my son had a he had a Winnie Pooh, and a Winnie Pooh to go to kindergarten, right? So when Carson was at our place, he gave him the kindergarten Winnie Pooh that he looks after him when he was sleeping, which was like so cute, you know. And it was for me overwhelming, because like, you actually saw the real person of Carson when he was like not in the ring. But when he was in the ring, he was like the most hated guy. And that's something nobody can take away, because like what he did, it, you know, people will remember. And now I don't know how to say it, but like, I was really shocked when I got the message that he passed away, because there's so many more moments I had with him. Like, if it's ribbing, or if it's putting something together, if it's like, one time we were in Munich, it was 2008, and it was for like a promotion show for Oakley. You know, the glasses? Okay, yeah. And he wrestled and as well, right? And then we were at the hotel, and he was the only driver who was allowed to drive a car with the the back thing where you carry the ring in. What was that called?
Oh, like the trailer.
The trailer. Yes, thank you. He was the only one who was allowed to drive with a trailer. But we were ribbing him and like putting like foam on his hand, tickled him. And so he smashed it in his face. Then I jumped on him with a splash on the bat. And he was like, "Oh, guys, I need to sleep. I have to drive the car tomorrow." and then there was one thing where I like painted a little something on his face, and he was like trying to rub it off, but like we actually were filming that the whole time, and he was he didn't really, you know, he didn't get angry or anything. He just stood up, like washed his face, laid down again because it was an 8-hour drive back. Okay, we were probably not thinking at that time, you know, but he was just like, "Ah, guys, I need to sleep. I'm the only one who can drive." Well, like, yeah, just drink a coffee or something. But as we drove home the day after, I was sitting next to him the whole time, like watching some stuff on his laptop, and stood awake and was staying awake with him for the whole time, because I felt kind of guilty at that point, because, you know, we did some stuff with him. He didn't, you know, he didn't really care, because it's like, I know it's a rip, and everybody liked him so much. And then, but I wanted to stay awake next to him while the others were sleeping in the car. And yeah, that's one of the funny stories.
It sounds like he was good taking a joke. Did you guys ever give as good as you got? Like, did he ever get his own back on you?
Oh, he got it a couple of times. He got me once in a match as well, but he was like, I went for a sunset flip. When he just went down, like sitting on me, and you just hear that. I was like, I just sniffed it all away. I think I sniffed it all away. But that, and he just got me up and said, "Oh, that was a good one."
It must be so hard to maintain like persona and focus when the guy's crying on you.
It absolutely was. But then, oh, there's another one. That, like, we had one time a 25-minute match where we just took one bump each, right? And there was like he was sweating, and at some point, like, we wanted to start to lock up, and I look at him, and I was like, he's sweating a Mickey Mouse. So he was like, he had a circle here and a circle here and a circle, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Did you point it out and go, "You've got a Mickey"?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But the great thing is, someone like Carsten Beck, I bet he embraced it.
Of course he did. He did. And that was that actually was the reason that we only took one bump each. And that was so amazing. We worked around the whole time about like the Mickey Mouse thing. I loved it. Seriously, I loved it.
From Germany, this is Bad Boom!
It's Mike Tenay and JB welcoming you to this explosion exclusive matchup opportunity to see this individual from Germany who has made quite a name for himself in his home country. Now, in Impact Wrestling, let's see how Bad Bones can fare against the best of TNA.
Well, Bad Bones comes to us as the online gut check winner with a massive amount of votes from his fans all across Europe. And what an opportunity here in Wembley Arena.
Bad Bones, John Klinger, dein erstes Match bei TNA Impact Wrestling. Ich meine, du hast es richtig gemacht. Du hast dich gleich mit dem World Champion zusammengetan. Aber ja, was super. War da los?
Er hat mich unerhört angegriffen. Man, was soll denn das? Ha? Ich halte die deutsche Fahne hoch und er greift mich einfach an.
Also du hattest es heute mit Samoa Joe zu tun und dann, ist kurz.
Ja, vergiss es einfach, ja.
You become a bit of a recurring character on Impact Wrestling. You did stuff when they did their European tour, you're a gut check winner, and you just keep popping up, like when we least expect it. There's Bad Bones on Impact Wrestling. This is great times. How did that relationship start?
Oh, how did it start? 2009, at the first Impact tour, and I was picked to have a match against Carsten Kretschmar, a guy from Hamburg. He was an old school guy of CWA. Like before the actual show starts, like, so we were at a dark match in Dortmund. Actually, you can find that somewhere on YouTube. We were meant to have like a match to just show out and you know, get the people going, because it was the first Impact tour, so they want to have some German talent on it. And I got noticed by them. Like, they were, like, really happy with the match. Then in 2011, I went there again for a training. And they actually, I took some video footage of me, and I was supposed to do, like, an interview with them. But somehow it never worked out. So that's okay. I was really happy to have that opportunity. And then in 2013, I got a text of them, and they asked me if they can put my name on their internet page and something like that. I'm part of the gut check. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, what picture do you want? Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. And I was like, yeah, just take one. I don't know. Just put me on. And then asked them what the gut check is. And they were like, yeah, they're like 300 odd people. And you are the only German in there. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then finalizing this, it was like, yeah, you have to get the people going that they vote for you and everything. And so I was getting to the point where I thought, oh, that could be a big deal. Damn. Because, like, there's so many people. Maybe I have a chance because I'm the only German there. And I started to, like do promos and stuff just for YouTube, put them on Twitter and stuff. And, yeah, and then when they, like, the first time the voting, it was somehow hacked. So they were, like, I don't know. There was, like, just, it was all over the place. So they stopped the voting, started again. I won this thing, and they said, yeah, we're gonna get in contact with you as soon as we have our tour. The good thing is I had Mike Ritter, who was the commentator for TNA Impact Wrestling at that time. He's like the commentator of AEW right now, the German one. He was like, yeah, they contacted me, and you will be part of the tour, and he's like traveling together with me there. So we met each other in London, and then I go backstage with him sitting there, and the door opens and there is El Snow. I know him from 2008 match there, which actually wasn't supposed to happen, but for some reason we were in the ring, and then we were talking so much, so we kind of got friends, and then I didn't know that he's there. He didn't know that I'm there. So it was like one thing to be here right now. So I had more confidence because I was like, damn, they are just the big stars right now. And I don't have what they want to do with me right now. Right. And there was Al, and he was like, calm down, kid. Just like, you know, whatever you do, just like calm down and listen, learn, shut your mouth. They put me in a match with Samoa Joe. Even it was like really short, but I was like a part of Impact. I did a backstage interview segment, and I was on the Joker's Wild too. Like in Germany, they had the German version of the Joker's Wild DVD, and I'm on the front cover of the German version. All the faces, I don't know who they switched out, but I'm on the German version, which is totally cool, which you were able to buy as well.
Here at Cultaholic, we're made up of former guys from what culture? From WCPW, somewhere where you called home. I asked a few of the lads, I let them know, hey, I'm chatting to Bad Bones today, and they all send love, by the way. Adam Pacitti and Ross and Jack, they all send love. Jack says, ask him about an interview with Gabriel Kidd. Apparently that involved being shoved into a wall with a nail sticking out of it. That has stayed with our boy Jack for many years.
Yeah. That
was... What happened then? But it's either something really good or something really bad.
No. We were there, and he was meant to like shove me. And I just like, I come out at a certain point, and I go under, I think it was the door. Like, it was either the door or, like, the door handle or something like that. And I'm just like, ugh. And they didn't think anything about that. And I was like, oh, damn, I'm just got bleeding or something like that. And I kind of ripped my whole shirt on the back. It was like a big hole on my shirt. And I was like, oh, look at that. There's a nail coming out. They were so sorry. But, you know, things like that happen. Mm. And, like, I don't know if they actually took the stuff we recorded at that point or just the one after, but it would be funny to see it again because, like, you know, so funny things. Jesus, almost forgot about that.
It was a funny one with WCPW. Everybody, we've had Rory Coyle on before, who I know you've worked with there. We had Prince Amin here on the podcast as well. We've had Rampage Brown on here too. And the general consensus is whenever they talk about WCPW, they kind of went into it as, oh, it seems like an indie with a lot of money. And then when they get there and they see these guys from YouTube getting these massive pops, it's a very confusing situation to be in. Especially when they're like, who are they and why is everybody crowding around them and not us over here? Like, what was your perception of WCPW when you got involved with it?
I noticed that. And I was like, well, it must have a meaning if they got so much, you know, attention from the people that, like, the guys in the back, the wrestlers, have to do some more. And but they actually put the work in with everything around. And, I mean, they earned everything, every bit of that, you know. It's like, it's how you how you sell yourself, how you get you over with the people, and for that they did a really good job.
What was your favorite match that you had as part of Defiant / WCPW? Was there a favorite match or a favorite moment apart from getting shoved by Gabriel Kidd and getting your head bled open? Apart from that, was there another highlight?
I think I would just say the matches I had with Rampage Brown. Mm. Such a lovely guy as well. We had some good matches against each other in the past few years, so it's always good to see him and always good to know that he is now a part of WWE UK, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. At the right place right now, and he deserves to be actually, like, higher up, you know. If you see him, he's always on point, he's on fire.
I've yet to meet anybody that has anything other than amazing things to say about him. And I think 2 weeks ago when he turned up on NXT UK, like, there was a fist bump around the UK of everybody watching just going, there, that's it. That's what, boy. That's what he deserves. That's what he deserves. And then it's a bit surreal to watch him doing it as well, because you go, that's Rampage, who I've watched at, like, indie shows and here and part of WCW. He's doing that amazing power slam, but in a WWE ring. This is a strange time. Has that ever been a consideration for you or a conversation you've had?
It could be a conversation, but let's say I am more interested about the other promotion.
Mm, and I want to get to that in just 1 second, right? Before we do, the other thing on your island that you're allowed to take with you, as well as three wrestling matches, I like to spring this on people. You can take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item. So when I say to you, John, that you can take a movie with you, what's the first movie that you think you want to have with you on an island?
Terminator 2.
Get in. This is, oh, I've just realized this. I think this is the second week in a row that somebody has said Terminator 2.
Amazing.
Why T2?
Because Arnold Schwarzenegger is a good Terminator. He is like the you know, the Steve Austin of Terminator.
We had Terry Thatcher from OTT Wrestling on. He recently, he said Terminator 2. He said, and he is a proud parent to two children, but he says the only time he's ever cried is as Arnie's hand goes into the lava and he puts that thumb up at the end. John, did that make you cry?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what we like to hear. How about an album? When you think about an album.
Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen.
Okay, okay. That song itself is just alone is phenomenal.
I don't know the age I was, but I was really young, and it went than everything else, and that's what it made. Queen was, you know, amazing. And once I actually used We Are the Champions as like for like I think one or two shows because I was in scene mode.
But no, I get it. It's a powerful song.
Yeah, but like Bohemian Rhapsody, it's just every time, and it's totally different from other music.
And it gets you at different points. It's a song, but it's a journey. It's a song that that you. It's what's sad is it's a song that probably wouldn't scan in 2020 because there's too much going on. Everything is sort of boiled down to like the length of a TikTok now. And it's so busy. There's so much occurring in it. But we'll never see the likes of that music again, John. That sounds really sad, but it's kind of true, isn't it? What about a luxury item? What do you reckon? An item that either it can either be something that you can have on the island to help you cope, or it can be a creature comfort from home. What would you like it to be?
Do animals count?
Yeah, they do. We've got a few people taking dogs and cats, so we're good.
Cat.
Ooh, which are you? Your cat, I presume, not just.
I don't have a cat at the moment, but we are getting a new cat or two. Yeah.
Ooh, when are you getting new cats?
Probably when we moved in the into the new house, and yeah, probably the kittens may around May. Mm-hmm. Because we want to have such cat as a Maine Coon.
I'm not familiar. What are Maine Coons like? 'Cause I'm not familiar with that breed.
They're pretty big and pretty hairy, so they're like pretty big.
Are they like the big fluffy ones that like they come out of the tumble dryer? Are they those ones I'm thinking of?
Yeah, kind of. Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. You've had cats before, then I take it. We're same in this house as well. I'm sad the door is shut because you could have met Pablo. Who is presumably scratching on the door asking why Dad has locked his other room out. Why cats over dogs?
I used to leave a dog at home because they need to go outside every now and then. Mm. And at the time where I was away, COVID and stuff, they feel guilty. But like cats, they just can't, you know, they don't care if you're there, they don't care if you're not there. They just want their food, be left alone. Sometimes they come for a cuddle. Yeah, just like me.
I want to read a tweet sent on November the 2nd. Here is the deal. Since life has become a prison with all those lockdowns and stuff, I can tell you from my standpoint, I suffer. I really suffer from that shizzle. Not being able to meet friends. I can't even see my parents. Go to the gym and do what I really love, which is wrestling. Entertain the people. Make them hate or love me. So, if social media is the only thing we got now, I just give this one shot. And people can laugh about it as much as they want. When this is over, I want to be a part of AEW. What are your thoughts on AEW since its launch? Have you've been watching it regularly, I take it?
I totally love the product they produce. They go into old school matches as well. They care about the characters. They do have some indie style stuff in there as well, but it makes you feel more welcome to WWE. Oh, I only love WWE or WWF in the old times. I only watch old stuff. I'm not a friend of the new stuff, but I like to have something which goes face to face with the WWE, and AEW is like I put it to a point now. More or higher in the powerful meaning than WCW was. I mean, WCW had their times where they can compete with WWE, but AEW, I mean, they're only 1 year old now. That's okay, but they have so much to the table. Like Cody Rhodes, like he had a plan. I mean, I wrestled with him in 2017, and just after he left WWE, he had a plan, and he just worked it from head to toe that big at the moment, and with the help of Chris Jericho as well, and the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. I mean, you just have amazing guys out there, and I would love to be a part of that. I mean, if social media is the only way you can get things around at the moment, that's my one shot. And if I fail, that's it. I fail. And I don't really care if people laugh about it and say, oh, you won't never make it to it or something. I mean, I just want to do what I love to do. And wrestling is my first love, and it will always be my first love. And back down. I never wanted to. I said to me, I can't quit because I have come so far. I had like opportunities to wrestle somewhere else. And if I would quit now and start all over again, it'd become a habit, you know? So the only thing I said, if I retire, I will stay away from wrestling completely. So wrestling wouldn't be a point of me anymore. So that can't happen. So I just give my shots out there. And if people laugh about it, it's okay. But if I show up at AEW at a certain point, the last one who's laughing, it's going to be bad.
What was your impression of Cody when you wrestled him in 2017? Did you have any indication that he would be at this point, at this place in the wrestling world a couple of years, just a couple of years later?
He was a very nice person. He took his time to talk to me. He took his time, you know, to talk over stuff, reject anything. He was like, let's see how we can build it in there. And such a humble guy. He was good to my kid, at least, because he put a tweet out there that, like, it was a picture of me, Cody, my son, and my ex-wife, where he tweeted out that, like, that my son was able to see his dad wrestle. It's something he remembers from his time and stuff like this. So it was, I was honored at that point. And it was a fun match for me. I really would love to, you know, I really would love to wrestle him again with the knowledge I have, like, only 3 years later, because the style has changed and my views on wrestling have changed, which is, it's still a learning process. When you are in wrestling, you always learn. You always learn something new. And he took his one shot when he left WWE. He knew that he wouldn't go under. Like, he got his steps everywhere he was able to, and now he's on the top of AEW, or, like, AEW is on top.
What does AEW look like with the badness?
Well, there would be a lot of madness going on, I think, and because I am the most dangerous man in European wrestling, which means I create chaos, and I don't care if anyone, you know, wants. If I'm in there, nobody puts a spotlight on themselves. The spotlight should go on me.
We've got one more match for your DVD, sir. So we have had Macho Man Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat WrestleMania 3, a belter between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker from WrestleMania. What is your third and final match going to be, John?
WrestleMania 8, Randy Savage, Ric Flair.
Mr. Perfect Champion Ric Flair, this is it. We are just moments away for the...
Shut up, Mooney. This is what it's all about. The prize photo of your old lady, Savage. The one we're going to put up on the big screen in the Hoosier Dome so everybody can see what she looks like. We've had it all taken care of. We took out all the flaws. She's as close to perfect as she's going to get.
Oh, and believe me, this is the real deal. Ladies and gentlemen, it's WrestleMania 8. It's Indianapolis, Indiana. It's bright lights. It's the big cities. It's long limousines. It's women lined up for a block to take a shot at the champ and Mr. Perfect. But most of all, it's Randy Savage's attempt to walk the aisle to defend the honor of his lady and to try and capture the most coveted trophy of them all, the World Wrestling Federation Championship. Randy, after taking the worst beating of your life, keep this in mind when you're flat on your back, look up to the big screen, because Mr. Perfect will be waving the fold-out of Liz and Pal. She's all the way live. And then Liz, to top it off, you got one last shot, baby, at Space Mountain.
Can I come along with you this time, champ?
Yeah. Let's go over to Gene Okerlund.
Obviously, World Wrestling Federation champion Ric Flair, not at a loss for words. That is not the case, however, with the Macho Man, Randy Savage. At this juncture, he is not granting interviews to anybody. It could be that this man is concentrating right now on regaining the World Wrestling Federation title. Or it could be that he's preoccupied with regaining the honor of his wife, the lovely Elizabeth. Or it could be that he is totally consumed with the thought, the notion that that alleged centerfold is going to be going up on the big screen here at the Hoosier Dome this afternoon, courtesy of Ric Flair. Whatever the case leading up to all of this, I've got to believe it's going to be one of the greatest title bouts in World Wrestling Federation history. With that in mind, let's get out to ringside.
This is what it's all about. This one half of the big double main event. The gold on the line. World Wrestling Federation title currently held by that man, Ric Flair, and the Macho Man wants it back.
It was not meant to be a WrestleMania match, but when it went to be a WrestleMania match, they put everything in it, like Miss Elizabeth, she had something with Ric Flair, and Ric Flair playing his mind games on the Macho Man. It was just, as a kid, I was like, he can't be that guy. And then you see the Macho Man, how he reacts and how he kind of freaks out while, like, he putting, like, the stuff up with the pictures. And then, you know, she was with him before she was with the Macho Man. Then you had the knee injury. You had Ric Flair bleeding in the middle of the match. It more dramatic you couldn't have at that point.
How old would you have been when you watched this match?
That came out in April, right?
April, yeah.
Seven.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I didn't believe it for a second, 10 being I definitely believed it. How much did you believe that during that match, a massive poster of Miss Elizabeth naked was going to descend from the roof? I, for one, was pretty sold that was going to be a thing. Appreciated the Elizabeth thing as a fan, but knowing the business, what I appreciate about that match was the idea of ask forgiveness rather than seek permission, because Flair got told off for blading.
Well, yes, but also that happened in the other match between Bret Hart and Roddy Piper, and they tell the story that they didn't, you know, get told off for that. I mean, Flair would never, never do that to himself. Never.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the point that he got told off, but for the dramatic of the match, I mean, if you have a bloody face and you have somebody who's like, you know, still fighting on one leg, it wouldn't see. I mean, nowadays, having such a match, it would maybe not be that special anymore, but like back in the day, and me as a kid, I was like totally into it. I was like, oh my God, he's bleeding. That means he's going to win. That means he's going to be the new champion. He's going to retain the championship. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then Macho Man got it like nailed on his knee. He was, you know, there. And then he just like does a schoolboy on him for the finish, which was, he didn't even need his elbow from the top, but that was like 1, 2, 3. He's there. Oh my God, he's the champion. Yes. Oh my God, but he's injured, but he's a champion.
Yeah, yeah. It's that and the crowd leaping up as it happens, and a yes. Bit that's under. And what I love about wrestling is I'm talking about it and there's goosebumps on my arm. That's why we love it, isn't it, John? That's why we love it. I've got goosebumps on my arm talking about it. And the build was exquisite. It was Flair going, she was mine before she was yours, Randy. It was the threat of the poster coming down. It was the emotion in the match. But the bit that's understated is that promo that Savage cuts after he is battered, sweating, just physically broken and mentally just bouncing off the walls. He's hopping. He's got Elizabeth holding him up, and he's talking about how he just took a piece and he wants the whole Flair. That sort of promo work must light a fire in you, John.
Amazing. Yes, that was, that's gold. That's like, you know, it's just like, well, now I've got the goosebumps.
Yeah, look at this goosebump party over here. This is incredible.
Yeah. Ah, oh, Jesus. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's...
If you haven't, if the fans haven't seen it yet, watch it. Watch it. It's so good.
100% worth it. John, this has been a wonderful hour that we've spent in your company. Thank you so much for giving it to us. Where can people go to find out everything about you?
First of all, thank you for having me. It was like really, really fun. And yeah, it was good to do something which goes out to the world while being inside of a light lockdown.
We're weirdly more connected than we've ever been. Isn't it strange how, like, as we are, we're all enclosed physically, but like energy wise, we're all over now. Like everything's everywhere. It's amazing. Sorry, where can people find you? Sorry, I interrupted you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @lost_rebel_bb. And then on Facebook, well, you just put John Klinger in and you will find me.
This time next year, you will find him in the center of the ring at Daly's Place.
You know what which motto I'm going for? It's winners never quit and quitters never win. That's the only way to go. So that shot is going out from me to AEW. I'll see you guys soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.